Now, the government is pushing ahead with its much-delayed crackdown on gambling advertising, but both the Greens and the Coalition want a parliamentary inquiry to look at the proposed laws. The government hasn't been able to convince them that its current status is how it should look when it is finally passed. Under Labor's proposal, ads will be limited during certain times of the day on television and banned on radio during school drop-off and pick-up. Kate Chaney is the Independent MP for Curtin in Perth. Kate Chaney, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks very much, Mel.
Now, it looks like we have this inquiry now that will take place. I take it you would welcome a little more scrutiny on the government's intention here.
Absolutely. And I think when the government has strayed so far from what its own committee recommended, there does need to be an inquiry to understand why that is and whether it will actually achieve what the government's setting out to achieve.
If you look at what goes on in the other chamber from you in the Senate, are you optimistic that the Coalition and the Greens and the crossbenchers there might be able to team up to force the government to toughen up the law?
Well, it's not just the Coalition and the Greens and the Independents in the Senate, but it's most of Australia who would like to see some improvements. So I think that it does have the potential to be improved there. I think it's an opportunity for the government to make it a whole lot better than it is and actually use the parliamentary process to make the laws better, which is what it's meant to be there for. So there are plenty of opportunities for improvement.
Which areas would you want to see prioritised?
Well, I think it's extraordinary that they've done nothing about inducements and ignored the evidence we heard in the committee about the harm that they do. So I'd really like to see them banned. Obviously, the Murphy report called for a full ban on ads because that's what the evidence shows, that partial bans don't work. I'm less hopeful about seeing that, but that needs to be the general direction that we're heading in. We need a national regulator as well so that we're actually regulating this industry properly and someone's keeping an eye on whether these reforms actually have any impact at all.
What's been the response like with the government, with the minister's office, when you've been dealing with them and raising these concerns that it doesn't go far enough? What has their response been like in your dealings with them?
Well, I find it interesting that they present this as, oh, we've found a balance, when what they're balancing is the interests of the Australian public versus the vested interests of people who are making a lot of money out of gambling harm. So I think that framing really is flawed. And what they've put forward are some reforms that the industry is actually very happy with. So it doesn't look much like a balance to me.
The government has talked about needing to ensure that broadcast media, which is certainly in difficult financial situation at this point in time, given the technological change that we're seeing, and point to the need to make sure that broadcasters have time to transition to this kind of period. Do you think that's a reasonable approach to trying to bring about some change, but not the full Murphy report? Do you give much trust to that explanation?
Well, I would absolutely welcome a discussion about how we make sure that independent media can continue. But assuming that the only way to do that is to keep feeding our children gambling ads is deeply flawed. So I would welcome a package that transitions media off gambling ads. And if you look at the scale of the problem, all the gambling revenue, all the ad revenue from gambling ads for all TV and radio equates to about 2 or 3 days of gambling losses for Australians. So this is a problem that we could easily resolve. We're just not having the right conversation at the moment.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the Independent MP for Curtin, Kate Chaney. Kate, earlier this week, you were asking the government whether they would commit to a digital duty of care as, you know, the next step in trying to support Australians dealing with social media and some of the problems that come with those platforms. Now, can you give us an explanation of what you would like to see from an overarching duty of care?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, when you walk into a shop, you know that if something falls on you or you slip on a puddle on the floor, someone is responsible for that. But in our online spaces, we don't have that same expectation that the people producing those spaces are actually going to be held responsible for their safety. And so that's what a digital duty of care is. It's really taking a concept that we have in other areas and applying it to this new online area. So an overarching duty of care would mean that platforms are responsible for taking reasonable steps to prevent harm on their platforms, rather than saying we're only talking about child sex abuse material or eating disorder material. It actually puts the onus on the platform to think about the safety of the product before they're putting it out to the public.
Would you envisage a digital duty of care encompassing algorithms and the harms that might come from algorithms, or do you think there needs to be separate treatment of how a government might seek to protect people from the harms caused by algorithms?
I think a digital duty of care should cover content but also functions and features, so the algorithms would be included in there, because what we're seeing is there are types of harm that are not driven by content. They're driven by endless scrolling and the types of content that's being fed to people. It needs to be broad enough to cover how those platforms are delivering content, not just the actual material itself.
And of course, if there is to be this process, it needs to be a strong oversight if you were to bring in this kind of digital duty of care. Is the eSafety Commissioner the right body to do that, in your view?
Look, I think it can be. It will need to be resourced appropriately and given the powers and people and money that it needs to do this job. And I think that will continue to evolve and grow over time when we bring in a digital... And recently, the government's announced some more resourcing for the eSafety Commissioner on the under-16 social media ban. That will need to continue to expand, I think, when we get a digital duty of care, because that role will grow. These online spaces are playing an increasingly important role in our lives. So, of course, we need a regulator that has the resources to deal with that, the size of that role.
And on that increased resourcing that we have seen as the government tries to bolster its under-16s ban, what do you make of the government's efforts here? Do you think it's done enough in terms of the extra support it's offering, the stronger fines that could be imposed by the eSafety Commissioner against the platforms if they're not seen to be doing enough? Do you think that's sufficient, or do you think there still needs to be more to try and make that social media ban for kids as effective as possible?
Well, there's definitely work to be done there. And I don't actually think the size of the fines is the thing that's going to make the difference, but the new powers that the eSafety Commission has been given to produce require platforms to produce documents will mean that she will actually have the information she needs to determine whether or not the platforms have taken adequate steps. And certainly parents in my community would say that that enforcement needs to hurry up, because there are a lot of kids who are still on social media today. So it's a step in the right direction.
Kate Chaney, thanks very much for speaking to me this morning.
Thanks, Mel.